The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio from midday till 1, Monday to Friday.
Good afternoon, 6 minutes past 12. I just want to run through the figures with you and discuss a little question over the figures. As of 4 o'clock yesterday, the Isle of Man, there have been 21,751 tests. 21,738 have been concluded, 13 people waiting results and 230 waiting for tests. But yesterday, there were 1,065 people waiting tests. So we don't quite know where the 1,065 people waiting tests have gone, whether it's an error in government figures or just to do with returning residents registering for a day 13 test. We did put a request in for a clarification from the government a couple of hours ago, but haven't heard anything back yet. So we will get to the bottom of that apparent discrepancy with the tests, where the 1,065 people who are awaiting tests have actually gone to, and we'll bring you an update on that. And situation's moving fairly rapidly. Staff at Nedbank Private Wealth in Douglas have been sent home after a case of COVID was detected. It's across two floors in St Mary's Court on Hill Street, and they've taken the decision of precaution. It's understood it happened after an employee came into the office after contracting the virus from a close contact who was also tested positive. All vulnerable and at-risk employees were asked to leave the building, but a number of staff on one of the floors were told to remain at work. Well, again, we got a request in with Nedbank for a statement and some comment. And as that happens, we'll provide you updates on the situation throughout the day. So that is staff at Nedbank Private Wealth in St Mary's Court in Hill Street have been sent home as well. And there's also a note on the B&B Furniture Facebook, which says that they've been contacted by the 111 COVID track and trace team. A customer of B&B had visited the showroom on the 2nd of January, and that person since tested positive for COVID-19. 111 contacted B&B once the track and trace was initiated late on the 4th of January yesterday, and B&B contacted and traced the movements of the customer in the store, identify that only one contact with a member of staff who's since been tested and has had a negative result. The member of the staff at B&B and their family are now as a precaution self-isolating until further notice. The delivery and fitting staff weren't on the premises and are continuing as normal. B&B have followed government advice but have decided for health and well-being of the staff and customers. B&B has closed its doors as a result, and as a precaution, the area is going to be deep cleaned. To all the customers who visited B&B in the interim, they'd encourage contact with the 111 service if COVID symptoms develop. B&B will be in touch with Manx Radio as soon as they reopen. Of course, we will broadcast that information straight away. Obviously, as a valuable commercial partner, we want to know when B&B reopen. So that's the situation. B&B closed at the moment for a deep clean. Situation just racing on, and of course we'll keep you up to date with what's happening. It's also back to school for the Isle of Man's pupils today, but those across are facing a very different situation this morning. The UK Prime Minister Johnson's announced schools there are to close due to another nationwide lockdown in England. It's raging in England. He also confirmed it means it won't be possible or fair for all exams to go ahead this summer. Now, while Manx classrooms remain open, it seems probable those due to sit exams here with UK boards will miss out for a second year in a row. We're expecting more information from the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, and the Education Minister, Dr. Allinson's confirmed he will speak to Manx Radio as soon as the details are available. But I understand Comin is meeting at the moment. The announcement also includes guidance for Manx students who attend universities in the UK and advice on travelling across. And again, as soon as we get that information, we'll bring that to you. But at the moment, we're just confirming all the sources of information regarding many stories today. The Chief Minister reacted to the news of England's lockdown on Twitter by saying that our thoughts are with our friends across in the UK following new measures announced today. The Council of Ministers regularly reviews the COVID situation, and of course we will continue to do so today. Heaven forfend another lockdown. At least in the lockdown last year we had nice weather. I don't know about it now. It's 11 minutes past 12. Here's Brian with us now. Good afternoon, Brian.
Well, good afternoon. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I was just a question in the Christmas spirit of things. Minister Baker stated that the promenade will be finished in June. And I was just wondering, will that be the end of it? Or will the promenade be lifted again for the horse trams to go down Lock Promenade?
I think it's the end of June. I think he said it's going to be the end of June.
And will that be the horse trams finished to the sea terminal, or just where they've got up to?
Well, I think they always said they were going to be finished. So let's be optimistic and say it's going to be 6 months, and it'll be the end of June.
And that will be the whole lot finished.
Well, we're hoping so. I mean, I say all this with my fingers crossed behind my back.
Oh, yes,
you never know.
Sure. Of course, yes, okay. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
How do you feel about what's happened on the promenade? Have you been up and down it lately?
Well, it's like sort of driving through on safari. I know they've got a lot of work, and I do appreciate that a lot of it's underground. I just think that the DOI is far too big a department, and it's out of control. But I don't want to go there. It's I've said that before. It needs to be broken up into sections, and there's a good man at the top of each section.
Oh, you mean before when it was different boards?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Still, not to worry. All the very best.
All right. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for calling us today. It's 13 minutes past 12. It has been weird. I don't know whether you've been up and down the promenade lately, but certainly since it all started, since the work, it's bizarre how it can change. And if you're driving in the middle of the night or when it was bad weather, it was like driving through a film set. It was bizarre. Lots of comment in regarding the Ned Bank. Is the government going to make a statement? Well, we don't have the statement yet from Ned Bank, and as soon as we do, then we'll let you know. Andy, regarding marinetraffic.com, I often look at marinetraffic.com. Yesterday, I noticed a yacht sail from Whitehaven to Douglas, and apparently it's moored in Douglas Marina at the moment. Do we know if Cabinet Office oversee people entering the Isle of Man by way of a private vessel, says Paul in Macauld? Well, it'll be interesting to see. Thank you, Paul, for that update. I've passed that through to the newsroom, and we'll see what the news is on that vessel travelling from Whitehaven to Douglas. A notice in that says, surely there can be no objection to essential travel onto the island only now. Nobody should be travelling for leisure in the next few months, says our correspondent, because it'll be illegal at their destination anyway. And yes, going to visit your family is leisure travel. You can't even do it inside the UK. Our Deutschland correspondent tells me Germany has banned British, I don't know whether it's just English or British people going into Germany. Germany has effectively banned, closed the borders to British people and South Africans as well. So the Germans were obviously, I think we're trying to contact a member of the medical profession in Germany in the next few days just to see how the situation is in Germany. And hopefully we'll be talking to Ashley Tracy from BBC Radio Jersey as well, just to see what their situation is as well. Government needs to suspend all new landing permits for non-essential travellers who haven't left the island. Let the people who are already away come back, really, but we shouldn't be letting people into the island, says our correspondent. My UK-based daughter in a high school, no heating yet. All staff tested this morning, key workers, children in school. She's teaching to a classroom with one or no students and is teaching every lesson via Teams too as well. Terry, now with the vaccine issue, let's say I don't have the vaccine. How, if the vulnerable have all been vaccinated, would I pose a risk to the vulnerable? I'm young, fit, strong, so I don't really want to be taking what I think is a rushed vaccine. Could potentially weaken my immunity. This disease, I think, is mild when compared to serious diseases such as smallpox or polio. Many have had it and not really noticed anything. So if this virus is so devastating to health, why do I need a test to see if I'm ill or not? Also, what happens if we don't build a natural tolerance to COVID-19? How will our immunity be able to tackle COVID-19? 20. Thanks and regards, Terry. All good points, Terry. And of course, we're dealing with COVID-19 in hindsight. We don't quite know what's going to happen in the future. And I think with certainly in the situation we live in today with everyone demanding instant answers on social media, the fact that we don't have instant answers will prompt different reactions from people as to whether they trust the people who are providing information or they don't. Close the borders, said our correspondent. Our economy, health and well-being is at risk of collapse. This isn't a joke. We're in big trouble if we don't act now. Why are we letting this walk in like last time? We should close our borders. If you have any thoughts on the matter, text, email or call. You text 166177, email studio at manxradio.com or call 6613 68. Like to hear from you if you have anything to say on the matter. All this is kind of happening with Brexit happening in the meantime. And if you think that Brexit was such an enormous, enormous subject that it's kind of under the radar at the moment, but Brexit does affect the island. A Brexit deal was struck on Christmas Eve at the 11th hour with the UK and the EU reaching a trade agreement. But for the Isle of Man, it means food prices will probably stay about the same and businesses will be able to sell products into the EU without tariffs. And that was at great risk at one time. The transition period officially ended at 11 o'clock on New Year's Eve. So, regarding Brexit and the Isle of Man, who is going to be affected?
I call it a skinny latte. It's been referred to on a number of occasions. So it is a very narrow deal. It's probably more than I thought we were going to get, more than I'd hoped for.
Chief Minister Howard Quayle there describing the Brexit deal, which only references the Isle of Man in respect of two things, trade and fishing. The great success for Manx producers is dodging a no deal, which would have seen tariffs go on our fish, lamb and aircraft parts, which are exported to Europe. That's been avoided. And all our tin tomatoes, brie and Parma ham coming the other way shouldn't go up in price with the tariff-free deal. But it's not bureaucracy-free, with exporters facing border and food safety checks, as Chief Executive of the Manx Fish Producers Organisation, David Beard, explains.
There is a lot of paperwork to complete with the new processes that we have to adhere to to get our goods into the EU. Some species, more paperwork than others, and there will be delays, no doubt, at the ports for the first few weeks.
Well, looking at fishing, the Isle of Man has gained control of the licensing of EU vessels. That means if any want to come here, they have to apply and they have to prove they've fished in our waters for 10 days in any of the last 3 years. Now, under the deal, the EU will give up a quarter of the quota it catches in the UK and Crown Dependency waters. This will be phased in over 5.5 years, after which those quotas will be reassessed. And as Mr. Beard explains, Manx fishermen want more.
The UK wanted to take back control of their waters, and the Isle of Man should want to do the same. There has been a consultation from DEFRA in UK, which was completed in December, and both DEFRA here on the Isle of Man and the fishing industry here on the Isle of Man replied to that consultation. And that was all about how new quota or additional quota could be used. And one of the things that one of the questions that they asked was about whether it should be regionalised so that, you know, you get the quota which is in your zone so that you can actively fish for the species that are in your waters. And obviously that's what we want. We want quota for the fish that are in our waters and in the surrounding wider Irish Sea.
DEFRA Minister Geoffrey Boot says there is the opportunity to get more.
We didn't get a fair share aware of what was on offer. I think the UK, who've been working with us on this, and DEFRA, are aware of that, and we've recently responded to them. And as the five-year progression kicks in, as the EU hands quota back, there will inevitably be a situation where more quota will be available, and proportionally, I think we will capture some of that, which is very important for our fishermen.
That's what we know so far about this deal. No deal has been avoided tariff-free trade and a touch more control of fisheries. But as many have cautioned, it's often what's not in the deal which we need to be focusing on. And also, with a 599-page document, the devil inevitably will be in the detail.
Good afternoon, 21 minutes past 12, the man in line on Manx Radio. A young fit person, says our correspondent, in ICU takes up the same bed as an older person would, but they're just more likely to walk out again afterwards. Once our limited number of ICU beds are full, every one of us is vulnerable when we can't be treated following a car crash, an accident at work, allergic reaction, or anything else that requires care. So the young aren't immune, they're just less likely to die what is from still an awful illness for them. Do you remember right from the very beginning, that's been the mantra from the Health and Social Care Minister, Mr. Ashford, has said we need to protect our health service because we do have a limited number of ICU beds. Barbara dropped me a note just to say it's confusing about B&B. I was in B&B this morning and heard just driving back to Ramsey. It's supposed to be shut. Can you clarify this? Well, I'll just go back to the B&B Facebook page, and it just says that they've been contacted by the 111 COVID track and trace. A customer visited B&B on the 2nd of January. On Saturday, the person has since tested positive for COVID-19. So 111 contacted B&B once the track and trace was initiated late on the 4th. They then, I think, went to their CCTV and tracked the movements of the customer in the store, identified just one contact with a member of staff who's since been tested and has had a negative result. The member of staff and their family are now as a precaution self-isolating for until further notice. Delivery and fitting staff weren't on the premises, so they're continuing as normal. B&B have followed government advice but have decided for health and well-being of their staff and customers to close the doors at Snugborough as a precaution. The area is now going to be deep cleaned. To all the customers who visited B&B, the advice from B&B is contact the 111 service if COVID symptoms develop. That's if you've been to B&B and you get any sort of symptoms, contact 111. So that's obviously a dry cough and feverish symptoms. B&B will, of course, reopen as soon as it is safe to do so. That comes on the back of the fact that Nedbank have sent staff home today because there have been two positive tests at Nedbank as well. And again, we'll keep you up to date with that. I think the government needs to shut the borders unless they've got millions spare to pay out if we have to lock down again, says Pete. UK's locked down, other countries are shutting their doors to the UK. I'd like to hear from anybody who's leaving the island for something other than essential work to justify leaving the Isle of Man. Ryan dropped me a note. Thank you, Ryan. I've just received the Pfizer vaccine today. Can't praise the staff enough, doing a fantastic job. I questioned the nurse whether getting the vaccine entitled me to travel to the UK or abroad. Freely, she didn't have an answer and couldn't really offer any certainty. I only asked this question going on from Ryanair's controversial jab and go slogan. Can you ask the question on the air, see if anybody calls back with an answer, do you know? If you've had the jab, can you travel to the UK? Well, that's another question on there when we get the Health and Social Care Minister on the man in line. But obviously at the moment, they're tied up with other things. Not, of course, the least of which is the situation regarding schools. Obviously, our schools are back and across they're not. And there'll be the situation regarding exams. Our returning students possibly going back to universities in Britain, but possibly not. Now we have COVID in the community. I suspect there'll be a special broadcast and a lockdown too looming. Here we go again, says our optimistic correspondent. I don't know whether you remember last man in line of last year on the 23rd of December, we had one of our famous completely meaningless straw polls as to whether you were pessimistic or optimistic about 2021. And it was 65% optimistic, 35% pessimistic. Let's see what happens. The prom fiasco, I think, will start all over again when the current debacle eventually comes to an end and the tram lines are extended to the sea terminal. Another one. Why not do it now and future-proof the lines for an electric tramway? Well, I understand that what was going to happen, wasn't it? Apparently, the tram lines are compatible with an electric tramway. JP dropped me that note as well. I guess not many of us watched Boris Johnson briefing last night, but he was frank, says Dick. The UK NHS is 21 days away from collapse, says Dick, with the insane volume of patients. For sure, we'll see a care ration, meaning that if you stand less of a chance of survival than the patient next to you, if there's one ventilator, it goes to them. You will sadly be made comfortable. If it's this bad over there, why aren't we urging people to wear a mask, wash hands, keep 2 meters apart? These things cost nothing, but it does save lives. Otherwise, we may be 21 days away as well. It's time to act and act hard, says Dick. Well, that was the advice. The Director of Public Health, Dr. Hewitt, did say we do need to get back to doing those things that we did de rigueur last year, that of washing hands, sanitizing, and restricting our contact with other people. But also, I suppose, and it's more difficult to do it during the winter, open the windows in your house. So make sure you get thorough ventilation in your house, even at this time of the year. I wonder if the source of this COVID is teachers who were needing to go away to the UK over Christmas, says John. The ironic thing is, if there's another lockdown, they'll be in receipt of their full salary. Unlike many others who, no fault of their own, will not. Well, the answer is, John, we don't know. Well, I don't think you know. I want to talk about travel and Brexit as well. Perhaps one of the biggest concern now is how the end of the transition period for Brexit will affect travel. It's hypothetical at the moment, but a trip to Spain, France or Germany may not be imminent. Obviously, while C-19 restrictions remain in place across much of continental Europe. But how will European holidays be impacted once the border measures are relaxed? So let's just imagine COVID disappeared. If you wanted to go on holiday to Europe, how do you do it? We sent John Moss to Ronald's Way.
Perhaps the most telling phrase in the pre-Brexit materials given out by our government was this: the extent to which you may be affected by the changes will very much depend on individual circumstances. Well, the key to all this is this small booklet. It's my passport. And now we're outside the EU, it'll be even more valuable. That, incidentally, is the flight to Manchester taking off down here at Ronald's Way. When you come face to face with the man or woman in the Borders Force uniform, what can you expect? Well, your British burgundy-coloured passport, or the one with the European on the cover, still applies, but except for travel to Ireland, there will be need to be at least 6 months to run until it expires. Also, it has to be less than 10 years old, even if it has 6 months or more left. Let me have a look. Yeah, I'm okay. Are you? If you're entering EU countries, Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway and Switzerland as well, at border control you may need to show a return or onward ticket, show you have enough money for your stay and, of course, use separate lanes from EU, EEA and Swiss citizens when you are queuing. If you're a tourist, you won't need a visa for short trips to most EU countries. Iceland, Liechtenstein, Norway, Switzerland. You'll be able to stay for up to, this is important, 90 days in any 180-day period. Passengers flying from the UK will continue to transfer to onward flights at EU airports without extra security screening, we're told. You're told not to book travel unless your passport meets the entry requirements of the country you're travelling to. Give the process plenty of time. Another aspect is phone charges, of course, after Brexit. Let caveat emptor be your watchword. The buyer beware. The UK's trade deal with the EU does not rule out additional costs when heading abroad in future. The biggest UK operators have said they don't plan to reintroduce roaming charges, but it may not be as simple as that in the coming years. Check with your provider is what you're told to do. For those travelling from the Isle of Man to Europe through the Channel ports in England, disruption could be possible if using the short crossing routes out of Dover, Folkestone or via the Channel Tunnel, certainly as things sort themselves out over the coming weeks and months. One thing is certain, though. The travails of travel are about to increase.
John Moss on what's going to happen when things return to, well, what we could describe as normal. It's 12:30 on Manx Radio. Where do we see what the take-up, the percentage take-up of the vaccination is? What's the take-up for responses to invitations for the vaccine? If it's not 100%, what happens to the unused vaccine allocation? I would imagine it trickles down the line, Andy. Wouldn't imagine they're going to be not using vaccine. You've just mentioned that a B&B employee and family are isolating as a precaution. So why aren't all the people who are at 1886 isolating too, or being made to, says Ian as well. The pandemic's far dealt with by official reports, not Facebook or secondhand reporting. Don't spread alarm, this is, says Andy. Well, that's quite right, Andy. We don't believe in secondhand reports. That's why we got it from B&B and from Nedbank. In response to Ryan's question, yes, you can jab and go, says somebody who obviously knows as well. Your earlier point about the nonsensical government figures refers, I noticed that the total tests had only increased by 38, yet 1,000 plus awaiting tests had gone down to 200 waiting. Also, they don't seem to show the recent positive cases, says G. Well, again, as I mentioned a couple of hours ago and more, we asked the government communications team what the explanation was, and as soon as we know, then you know. Dave says, here come the doom and gloomers, the scaremongers, all popping out. And a note in from Rachel that said, I thought my biggest problem was I'd reset all my passwords for my computer and phone and iPad for 2021, done a complete reset, like they said, you know, change all your passwords. Now I've forgotten where I wrote them down.
I am one call centre, the place to go. Great choice and prices so low. I am one car centre on the main road. Cars of every kind, at prices that are hard to find. Visit on Facebook to see the range, or call 611040. Great service choice and prices low. I am one car centre, the place to go.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Close Lease Farm is a beautiful venue for any event, from weddings and corporate functions and celebrations. Available daytime or evening, venue hire is included when you use Close Lease Farm for your gathering. We're fully licensed, can cater for up to 60 people, and the quality of our food is exceptional, whether you want a simple buffet or a fine dining tasting menu. For more information, visit Close Lease Farm on Patrick Road near St John's, or email events at closeleasefarm.com.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals. Gates and railings, balustrades, structural steel, it's our game. Come to the A&B Metals crew, there is nothing we can't do. A&B Metals know the rules, we've all been to metal school. All our teams are skilled to use, all the metal working tools.
A&B Metals, for the biggest range in stock of structural steel and cladding for collection or delivery. Talk to the steel experts today.
A&B Metals, A&B Metals, A&B Metals.
I use the post office, but generally for posting mail and nothing else.
I use it sometimes, but not on a regular basis, right, to buy stamps or post parcels.
We pay the rates there, and we go in usually about once a week, don't we?
Well, yes, we depend on it, really, then, yes.
What role does the post office play where you live? Join me, Alex Watton, tonight for Signed, Sealed, Delivered, The Future of the Manx Post Office. Here on Manx Radio from 6 o'clock, later available as a podcast.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon, 26 minutes ahead of 1 o'clock. Is the Douglas Promenade walkway going to be redesigned? I think the prom's looking good and it'll be nice when it's finished, says Gemma. A note in from a correspondent just said, KPK, will sailing staff be offered vaccines or testing? A lot of steam packet seafarers live in the UK. We'll find out more about that. The focus on direct COVID deaths, I think, is misleading. Survivors can occupy hospital beds for many weeks, which makes every one of us vulnerable to other conditions. And talking of post offices, Laxey Post Office, which didn't open this morning, is now open. So if you're looking for the post office in Laxey, it's there. I think Dick's point was right, says Liz G, about doubling down, really, on what how we're handling COVID. And a note in just regarding how, and I just wonder how you feel about whether people are becoming lax about sanitising, washing hands, coughing into elbows and what have you. And I just wonder, this note said, I was in the bingo recently and in the loo, and I was watching a woman coming out of loo, didn't wash her hands, put her hands on the loo doors. And I also heard her talk to a friend and say she worked at the supermarket. I won't be going in the supermarket. And Pete says, Andy, people are entering the Isle of Man other than key workers. It seems if you buy a house here, you can move here regardless of where you come from. This is happening while people are waiting, wanting to be repatriated or refused entry. I think it's ridiculous. Well, I think the situation is if you do purchase a house here, I think even if you've signed a contract, you can come to the island to check. But that is the situation. Government's never made any mystery about that. If you do purchase a property, you can come to the Isle of Man. I think it's time to stop listening to the Facebook Brigade and stop non-key worker travel. We should go back to level 5. I don't think we should trash the economy with a lockdown. In the UK, some areas apparently have a little contact list for people who will turn up at the drop of a hat to save waste if doses aren't being taken up, says G. Well, the vaccination programme has started and will crack on, they say, for everybody who's on the list will be September. That the government should have told us if there was a positive case as soon as they were told and come back with tracing later. That way people will have the choice to go out or not. It's interesting, wasn't it, at the weekend everybody was shrieking that the government should have done something quicker. And I just wonder what your thoughts are. If the government finds something out at 11 o'clock at night, should they announce it or should they wait until the next day? If government finds something out, you know, in the middle of the night, should they wake everybody up with the siren? Can't, the sirens are gone. How quickly do you think government, and that just points to the question really, how do you think the government have handled their communications? It's commonly accepted that obviously Mr. Ashford and the Chief Minister have played a fairly straight bat where this is concerned, I mean, honest with us. I just wonder, because the situation is now becoming part of our lives, it'll be a year on March the 16th, that we've been subject to this. D, and a note in, says, Andy, the person texting about the prom nice is a bit deluded. I think it looks awful. Find the building company and bring in professionals instead of locals, says D. Well, that's your opinion. The Ryanair's advert jab and go is desperate and tasteless. People are dying in huge numbers and all they want is people to go on holiday. I think it's a nasty advert from Ryanair. Are the Chief Minister and the Health Minister having the vaccine, says Graham. We'll ask them. Ramsey Post Office is only open if as and when the spa shop decides to open. It was 9:15 last Wednesday, the post office in Ramsey. Kevin, hello.
Good afternoon, Andy. I just come on just to say that I think there's a lot of negativity at the minute, but we are the luckiest people in the world right now to live on the Isle of Man. And I think the Isle of Man government has done an absolute fabulous job. I think they're looking after us. They're doing everything possible. And I think it's time to stop knocking them and actually hold your hand up and say, we're lucky to live here.
It's amazing, Kevin, how many people in the UK don't know what a success story the Isle of Man has been. I don't know whether you saw, there was a TV programme, I think it was Julia Bradbury, who was saying, what's the best place to live in the British Isles? And they said, the Scilly Isles.
Yeah, but we've got friends in France, and I do know that people in France anyway, in around Brittany area, they think the Isle of Man is absolute heroes doing what we're doing. And I think we should, you know, announce this to the world. This is the way to try and beat this thing. I know we've got the vaccine. It's going to take time to roll it out. The fact that we've got it is brilliant. But I still say that everything that this government has done and is doing is superb.
Okay. Good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us today. Okay.
Thank you. Bye.
20 to 1 on Manx Radio. Text 166177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Or you can call 66 13 68. We're 12 months into this pandemic. If we need to start wearing masks when we go out, there's no excuse for not having one already. If you're hearing this and you don't have a mask, get one as soon as possible. Vaccinate now and everyone, says Gary. Mandatory, I think it should be. Well, the government have always said no, but that's your opinion, Gary. Nobody wants to remain a social exile. I believe the army will be involved. Not much army on the Isle of Man, but we get your point in helping trying to persuade vulnerable anti-vaxxers. So the real question is, should they actually make anti-vaxxers get jabbed? If people don't want the vaccine, should they be forced? Gary says they'll thank us in the future. If not, their fate is of their own doing.
Several of us have seen the way that the post office strategy has been going. And
you'll hear more about the post offices tonight. Alex Watton talks about what's going to happen to post offices on the Isle of Man in the future, and really where the post office will be in 5 or 10 years' time.
For kitchens and bedrooms, there's a cheaper way. Transform your home with a door today.
You need a door.
For complete restoration or bespoke design, your home is sure to look divine.
You need a door.
Adore.im is the place to go. Get quality and class from the people who know.
Click adore.im today.
Aon is the island's commercial insurance broker of choice, providing businesses with risk solutions including buildings insurance, liability, professional indemnity and more. Aon combines expertise and full remote working ability with access to top insurance providers worldwide. Call 692-400 or search online for Aon Isle of Man. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Office World at Spring Valley is the island's largest one-stop shop for packaging materials. We stock everything from huge rolls of bubble wrap to single envelopes, padded bags, mailing tubes, labels, packaging tape, storage boxes and much more. Office World has everything you need to package your goods safely and securely. Office World is also home to the island's largest stationery store, with over 4,000 products under one roof, with free parking right outside the front door. It has to be Office World at Spring Valley Estate, Braddon.
Choose Milan Vets for your farm animal care. Expert services include export examinations, routine and post-import blood sampling, along with ultrasound scanning and fertility work. Milan Vets also offer herd health plans for farm assurance. Farmers can also order in advance to receive discounted medications. Visit online at milanvets.co.uk or call today on 674 532. Milan Veterinary Practice, caring for all creatures, great and small.
The sound of the school corridor, for me, full of dread. This is the 60th anniversary of a 9-year-old Charles Guard being dumped at King William's College as a boarder. The food, the caning, the naked swimming, the rugby. Horror. Join me just after the 6 o'clock news this Wednesday evening as I pick up the courage to go back to college to see how it's changed over the last 60 years.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Good afternoon. It's 16 minutes before one. I just want to bring you up to date with the situation that we have it. Staff at Nedbank Private Wealth in St Mary's Court in Hill Street in Douglas have been sent home after a case of COVID was detected. It's understood this happened after an employee came into the office after contracting the virus from a close contact who's also tested positive. We've contacted Nedbank, and as soon as we get their comment, we'll bring that to you. But also, B&B Furniture in Snugbury is closed. They've been contacted by the 111 COVID track and trace team as a customer visited the showroom on the 2nd of January and has since tested positive for COVID-19. B&B say if you're a customer who's visited the store in the interim, contact 111 if COVID symptoms develop, and as soon as B&B is reopened, it's being deep cleaned at the moment. As soon as B&B is reopened, then of course we'll tell you straight away. Not just buying a home, but if you're renting somewhere and you sign a contract, you can come to the Isle of Man. A big loophole lets non-Manx in, says that correspondent. Charlie's with us. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Hi. You've been going on about the vaccine at the end and be all of everything. I was watching a documentary last week on the news. Apparently, the vaccine does not stop you getting the virus.
No, it mitigates the effects, doesn't it?
It does, yes. But the way people are talking, once we have the vaccine, everything's okay. It's not. You can still get the COVID. It's just that the likely is that the symptoms are less severe.
So it still means you've got to practice what you preach, really. You've got to maintain the social distancing and not cough in anybody's face.
Well, not necessarily. You can social distance to a degree, but as the documentary of a health minister on the news the other night, last week, that stuff you're getting now does not stop you getting the virus. It just makes the symptoms less severe.
Okay.
So we're still going to have it.
Okay, Charles, thanks for pointing that out today.
All right, thank you.
All right, good to talk to you. I've had COVID. This is Wayne who dropped me a note. Said, Andy, I've had COVID since Christmas Eve, and I can tell you it's not a nice experience. Is the Chief Minister giving a briefing today? The question is, we don't know at the moment, but of course, as soon as we do know, we've not been told there's going to be any sort of briefing today. But as soon as we know, of course, we will, of course, carry it live on Manx Radio, as we've carried every media briefing with the government since March of last year. And we'll know about that. We were also expecting perhaps a briefing regarding schools and exams as well. So there isn't, as we stand, going to be a briefing today, but obviously times move very quickly, and as soon as we hear it, we'll be broadcasting it live, if there is one, live on air on all our channels and also on Facebook and YouTube. And Stephen's with us. Good afternoon, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy. Good afternoon, listeners. Andy, I'd like to echo what that previous caller has said, and that is that even though with the vaccine there is no... there's a lot of unknowns at the moment of what the results will be. I think I did listen to Professor Van Tam the other night saying it is unknown whether, having had the vaccine, whether you can still pass on the virus or even get sick with it. And then we have to add into the mix those people who have been told that if you have an allergy, it's still an unknown whether it's safe or not, and pregnant mothers and others with autoimmune illnesses. So I think we must stop giving the narrative that if you do not have the vaccine, then you're somehow an outlier of society, because there will be a lot of people for all sorts of reasons who will not have the vaccine. I think the vaccine will be a help. It will mitigate the effect on the National Health Service, but it won't be the outright magic bullet. It will be better medicines, the continued the isolation for those who do get ill, and test, trace, and isolate. So I think it's going to be a whole load of things that will help in the future, but to somehow vilify those who don't get the vaccine for whatever reason is plain wrong, and it will divide society, and I think we need to avoid that at this time.
Okay. Good point, well made, Stephen. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
11 minutes to one on Manx Radio. Well said, Kevin, says Judy as well. Kevin just said the government had handled everything well. Further to your comment about buying a house, says this correspondent, I drove past a large removal truck with UK registration plates. It was either loading or unloading outside a house. I'm just wondering how that works. Will the staff isolate for 2 weeks, or are they some kind of key worker exemption? I had to travel in a taxi this morning. The taxi's driver's sister lives in Leicester, has a house here. She is Manx, wants to return, but has been denied a return to the Isle of Man. I agree with 100% with the last caller, Kevin. Well done to the Manx government and well done to the Isle of Man people, says Paul. And again, I don't know whether you saw that TV show about Julia Bradbury saying the best place to live in the British Isles, the Scilly Isles. There's nothing there. They may not have much COVID, but they've got nothing else. And here we are. I just wonder whether, I don't know whether the government, the communications people are putting the message out or BBC Isle of Man are bothering to tell anybody. But I was chatting to somebody in the UK last night and they had no idea the Isle of Man was virtually COVID-free. Many people are becoming complacent about sanitising. Every time I go into a shop, especially supermarkets, people are sailing past the trolley and basket sanitising point while I'm busy cleaning my basket before entry, says Sue as well. And D, Andy, I think we should close the borders for a month while the UK is on lockdown and assess the situation here. We need to be safe, and I really don't want it to end up as a lockdown on the island again. The last one was taxing, tiring. We need to ignore the panicking. Karens and Trevors, if your name's Karen and Trevor, I don't mean you specifically, take a calm look at this, react accordingly. A big day on the Isle of Man today. Peel loses its branch of Isle of Man Bank. Announcing the closure in September last year, the RBSI chief executive, people who own it, Royal Bank of Scotland International, Andrew McLaughlin, said the organisation needed to move with the times. Well, if you're in Peel, that means moving with the times means your bank goes. Moving with the times is not how these Peel bank customers view the situation.
It's convenient. I don't do online banking. And sometimes I need change and money and so on, especially in coinage. It's going to be very difficult because I'll have to go to Douglas or to Ramsey to get some.
So that's what that's your plan, is to having to go to Douglas?
Yeah.
Still with the Isle of Man Bank, but in Douglas?
In Douglas, yeah. But it's inconvenient sometimes.
Madam, you use the Isle of Man Bank?
I use it every week,
so
yes.
So how's this going to hit you?
I'm over 70. It's going to make a difference that I would have to go into Douglas all the time to pay money in. I don't like using technology, but we've been forced into doing it.
Just out of curiosity, do you have a car?
I don't drive, no.
So you'd have to go in by bus?
I have to go in by bus, yes. And I have arthritis, which makes it difficult to walk. It does make a difference. I have a friend who's over 90, and when the COVID finished, we didn't really want to go on public transport, but we were forced to go into Douglas and queue to pay in money because we take our weekly pensions in cash.
Madam, do you use Isle of Man Bank?
I do, yes, and my daughter and my grandson. My daughter works in ShopRite and, you know, it makes life difficult for her if she wants to get to the bank.
What alternatives can they use? What will they do now?
Well, they've either got to go to Douglas or I think there's one in Ramsey, isn't there? Yeah, so that's it. Luckily, my grandson works in Douglas, so he's not too bad. But, you know, it just makes life difficult, even just for the hole in the wall, if you want cash.
I understand the mobile bank, the Penny Bank, is going to be on the road from next Monday. Where that would be, I don't know.
But it's going to stop at the town hall, I believe. But it's not clear what facilities it's going to offer, whether you're going to be able to get, you know, if you want change, whether you're going to, they're going to have cash, or whether it's just going to be a facility to go and pay checks in or things like that. But it's only open at 2 hours on one day and an hour and a half on another, isn't
the
it?
Queues, the whole of Peel is going to want to go to the bank. And the queues are going to be miles long. It's pouring with rain, snowing, whatever. Old people. It's just ridiculous, isn't it?
It is not caring the community for the older generation.
We all know that technology is wonderful. We all know it's come on leaps and bounds and you can do banking any time of day or night. On a mobile phone, on a tablet, on a computer, you can do it. However, if anything has arrived over the past few months, it's that human contact really matters. So we'll see what happens. Howard Quayle, David Ashford, Henrietta Hewitt did a fantastic job on Sunday explaining the situation, says Malcolm. We've just had a note in, by the way, from Nedbank. Nedbank Private Wealth have issued a statement and it goes as follows. We can confirm this morning, Tuesday, 5th of January 2021, we were advised that an Isle of Man-based member of staff has tested positive for COVID-19. Following the confirmation, established protocols were put in action and a number of staff at Nedbank have been advised to leave the office and work from home for a period of initially 14 days as a precaution. The office is closed to the public until further notice. The government track and trace team have been contacting all individuals who've been in close contact with a staff member to advise of the specific individual actions they may need to take. Nedbank, go on. We continue to follow government guidance across our locations. Due to our contingency planning, staff were able to quickly move to work from home, having already done so for a period last year. Staff remain dedicated to providing excellent support clients can expect from Nedbank Private Wealth. The well-being of Nedbank staff, clients and the island community remains our priority, and we wish our staff member well for a speedy recovery. That's the official media statement from Nedbank Private Wealth. Stay tuned to Manx Radio for any update on the situation regarding the Nedbank case and B&B Furniture, and as soon as B&B is open, then we'll tell you. In the meantime, thank you for being involved with the Man in Line today. Every correspondence that's sent to the programme is read, although not all of it is used on air. And if you want to get in touch out of hours, call the answer phone on 682 631. Thanks to our studio producer today, Barry Redfern. I'm Andy Wint. Back with the Man in Line tomorrow, live at 12 midday.